श्रील प्रभुपाद की गिरिराज महाराज की श्रीमद् भागवत नाम की श्री भक्ति भाई बाब की जय नितय गौर प्रेमानंद
of Maharaj Prithu.
So far we did chapter 13, chapter 14, and chapter 15,
which include the pastimes of Maharaj Prithu.
And these chapters, the exam, which should be at the end of March, beginning of April, will be based upon chapters 13 to 23, which are the 11 chapters which contain the pastimes of Maharaj Prithu.
So, chapter 13, does anyone know what chapter 13 is called?
Description of
the descendants
of Guru Maharaj. So we hear about the dynasty which is descending from Guru Maharaj, and this dynasty, Maitreya Muni speaks to Vidura. Vidura is very eager to hear about the two sons of Swayambhuva Manu, whose names are Dhanapat and Priyavrata. So far we've heard about the daughters and their descendants. We've heard about Devahuti and we've heard about Prasuti. Yeah. So now he's asking, please tell us about Dhanapat and Priyavrata. Now the youngest son, his name is Uttanapad, and his son, or in his dynasty, came Dhruva Maharaj. And then from Dhruva Maharaj, going down in that dynasty, then we hear about an incarnation who appeared, who is a Shakya Vaishyavata. His name is Maharaj Prithu. Shakya Vaishyavata, Shakti means the potency of the Lord. Shakyavesh means that this particular incarnation of Krishna, there are six incarnations, this particular incarnation, this is described in the beginning of chapter 15, this particular incarnation of Krishna, which is Shakyavesh, is a jiva. It is not the Supreme Lord himself, it is not the original personality of Godhead himself, but it is a jiva who is empowered by the Lord to do the work as if the Lord himself were doing it. He has the Shakti of the Lord. Some examples of this is Srila Vyasadeva. Srila Vyasadeva is a jiva, but he's given the Shakti of the Lord to fulfill the activities of the Lord. And other example, Narada. Narada is also a jiva, but he's given the power of the Lord to preach as if the Lord himself were preaching. Any other examples we can think of? Lord Jesus, yeah. Many of these great personalities are empowered by the Lord himself to perform the activities. So Prithu Maharaj is a jiva who is empowered by the Lord himself to perform the activities of the Lord.
Remark?
generally. Sometimes the Lord himself steps into that role when there's not a qualified jiva. It is also mentioned like that. When there's not a qualified jiva, then the Lord himself will also take the position of Lord Brahma. But generally there's a jiva who is standing like that. Do you boys need chairs? You sure? Did we get chairs?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. So, chapter 14 is called? Story of King Bena. So it means that in the dynasty coming from Dhruva Maharaj, there was one king whose name was Anga. And King Anga had a son named Bena. And Bena was a wicked and cruel king. He is everything a king should not be. So he was killed by the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas chanted mantra, and by their Brahminical potency, they killed Maharaj Bena. His mother was very attached to him, so she covered his body in balm, or in special oils, and balm, particularly like herbs and oils, and she preserved his body, and she chanted mantra to preserve his body. The sages, knowing this, saw that there was no king in the kingdom, so they came and they began to churn his arms, and by chanting mantra and churning his arms, then Maharaj Prithu and Archie, who is the wife of Maharaj Prithu, they appeared, they manifested. So he is an empowered incarnation, and she is empowered by Lakshmi Devi, by the goddess of fortune, like that. So they became the ideal king and queen. And then, and then chapter 15 is called? The coronation. So in the coronation, he was installed as the king of the world, Maharaj Prithu, and he was glorified by many, many great personalities. Now in this chapter which we're beginning, chapter 16 is called? So we hear about the continued glorification by the their names are, it'll be described in this section, they're professional reciters. It means their service is to glorify the king. And in times of ceremony, they would speak mantras, or they would glorify great personalities, the dynasty, the king, and so forth. So they have this service. So this will continue in this chapter. We'll hear about the continued glorification of Maharaj Prithu, which began in chapter 15. Then we'll hear more about his position from the reciter. So it's a very wonderful situation like that. Any questions or comments?
Oh, there's always some reason behind the activity of the Lord. How can we understand that he decided to appear to the churning of the arms? Is there any explanation given in that?
Not so much explain. It is mentioned that the Lord can appear in any way. Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Matsya, the Lord appears in the form of the fish, he appears in the form of Varaha, the boar. So the Lord can appear in any way. He's not subject to the laws of nature. So he comes in that particular way. They've turned the arms of Bena, the arms representing like the Kshatriya part of the body, so maybe, if that Prabhupada does not mention, but maybe there's some connection like that. So. Prabhupada, his main point that he mentions is regardless of how the Lord appears, he is divine. It has nothing to do with the material energy. If he appears as a boar or a fish, he is still the Supreme Lord. And his supremacy is not challenged like that. And if he appears like that, he appears out of the nose of Lord Brahma, like that, as he likes, like that.
Can you say that the Lord appears, given that he is a Shakti or something?
We say?
Can he say that the Lord appears, because we said that he was a jiva, empowered with potency, so how is it different from saying the Lord appears?
Yeah, well, he's appeared from the arms of the churning, so it's not like an ordinary birth. He's appeared directly, just like it is described in the Mahabharata, that Drishyadyumna and Draupadi appeared from the fire. which was Daumya, who was the priest. He was performing some yogya, and then Draupadi, Drishajumna, he appeared. So this happens in, even Jivas can appear like this. These are not ordinary personalities. Okay, so Maharaj Prithu appeared from the arm, somehow manifest like. It wasn't like an ordinary birth.
Maybe I didn't ask the question, but can we say that, when we refer to Maharaj Prithu, in the section that mentions the Lord appeared, the glorification is also that you are none other than God. Glorification is both like that. But then on the other hand, it's also said that you are Shakti Avipata. How do you understand that? For example, if Srila Prabhupada and Maharaj Prithu are in the same category, but we never, Prabhupada obviously we never refer to Prabhupada as God has appeared. Because he is a Shakti Avishnata, he is still a Jiva. So then, why? What is the difference? How is this Shakti Avishnata different than Srila Prabhupada?
Yes. technically speaking, then we would look at it like that. But because he is mentioned, specifically he is mentioned in the Shastra. So Prabhupada makes this point that Maharaj Prithu is predicted that he will appear. So then, as far as he is predicted that he will appear and he came in a divine type of way, then the citizens will look at him as a practically like an incarnation of the Lord himself. And he has so much potency, he is practically the Lord himself. It says he has so much potency, he's more powerful than the sun god, than Indra, mentions one of the other gods as well. There's more potency than Indra and the sun god like that. So practically speaking, he has so much potency as if he is the Lord himself. But technically speaking, we understand he's Shakyavesh. But so much potency is there. Okay. Any other points? Yeah, it could be. Gokula Ramamurthy was saying that just like in Kali Yuga, everything becomes diminished. So Srila Prabhupada, you may not see him showing that kind of. So you study Prabhupada's life, who else could have done that? So obviously he was empowered by Krishna. Okay, so now we'll begin. Verse 1, chapter 16. The great sage Maitreya continued, while King Prithu thus spoke, the humility of his nectarian speeches pleased the reciters very much. Then again they continued to praise the king highly with exalted prayers, as they had been instructed by the great sages.
Here the word Muni Churita indicates instructions received from great sages and saintly persons. Although Maharaj Prithu was simply enthroned on the royal seat and was not at that time exhibiting his godly power, the reciters like the Sutta, the Magadha and the Mahi understood that King Prithu was an incarnation of God. They could understand this by the instructions given by the great sages and learned Brahmanas. We have to understand the incarnations of God by the instructions of authorized persons. We cannot manufacture a God by our own concoction. As stated by Narottama Das Thakur, Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, one has to test all spiritual matters according to the instructions of saintly persons, scriptures and the spiritual master. The spiritual master is one who follows the instructions of his predecessors, namely the sadhus or saintly persons. A bona fide spiritual master does not mention anything not mentioned in the authorized scriptures. Ordinary people have to follow the instructions of sadhu, shastra and guru. Those statements made in the shastra and those made by the bona fide sadhu or guru cannot differ from one another.
So what are the points in this opening paragraph?
We cannot manufacture God by our own concoction.
So it is easy for one who is taking the shelter of Shastra and who is hearing from the sadhus to understand the appearance of the incarnation of the Lord. It is described in the Shastra. The sadhu will speak about this in the Shastra. So one who is taking the shelter of this group can easily understand because here is the Supreme Person.
Good point. Any other points?
The importance of sadhu, shastra and guru children and also the this kind of the authority of the Supreme Master who always follows the first reading of the shastra.
So this is our three-way checking system. Everything must be validated in spiritual life through guru, sadhu and shastra. Now if we read something which is apparently contradictory in shastra, then we have guru and sadhu to reconcile those points. If the sadhu says something and we cannot understand it, then we check with the guru and the shastra. And similarly, if the guru says something which we cannot understand, then we have the shastra and we have the sadhu to check with. So in this way, the message remains intact and pure, unadulterated, as it is. Otherwise, spiritual life becomes very speculative. And we see all over the world there's a lot of speculation in spiritual life. People say all sorts of things, so many philosophies these days, so much bogus philosophy on the earth, spiritual circles. There are so many cheaters these days. So very easy to expose the cheaters. Simply, we have to challenge, where is that found in, according in the Shastra? Where is it taught by the previous Acharyas, the Sadhus? And if the Guru is speaking in a particular way, that there is no correlation or there is no consistency with the Shastra and with the Sadhus, then we have to reject. And so in this way, we can challenge any system. Now we understand Prabhupada is being a perfect Guru. Why? Because everything was based upon shastra and sadhu, right? And these things are not a compromise. Just like Prabhupada, he said that we can use our own words to preach. Prabhupada said, explain it in your words. Prabhupada encouraged us to use our own realizations, our own words. But we do not compromise the actual message. We explain the Bhagavad Gita, we explain the Bhagavad Gita, we give classes. But we do not compromise the actual Siddhanta, or the Tattva, the actual truth. That is not compromised. We can explain it in different ways, but things are not compromised. Everything must be according to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So if someone says something and it sounds inconsistent or incorrect, then we say, where is that in Shastra? And you must show an example. And that's why when we preach, then we quote certain verses. We say it says in Brahma Samhita, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, it says in the Gita, it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Give authorization to your preaching. Right? Or you give examples. Srila Prabhupada said. We have to be very careful in quoting what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada himself said, when Prabhupada was on the planet, someone said, oh, Prabhupada, you said. And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said, where did Prabhupada say? Sometimes the devotees say, oh, Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that, and Prabhupada said, where did Prabhupada say it? Yeah. It has to be authorized. Just like he came to... It might have been in Australia, I can't remember, it might have been in Australia. Prabhupada came one time, one of the devotees told the devotee who was cooking for him that Prabhupada likes lemon on his rice, lemon juice on his rice. So just before Prabhupada arrived, just before he walked in, the devotee got fresh lemon, squeezed it all over the rice, right, and then served Prabhupada. So Prabhupada sat down, and then after 1 minute, Prabhupada rang the bell, and the devotee came in. Prabhupada said, why is the rice sour? Right? And the devotee said, oh, Prabhupada, because someone told me you like it like that. Prabhupada said, I never told anyone I like lemon juice on rice. And Prabhupada said, bring milk and sugar. So he ate the rest of the prasadam, and then at the end he mixed the rice with milk and sugar and he took it like a sweet preparation. Like that. So if Prabhupada said, you better make sure that Prabhupada said it. Because you hear devotees say all the time, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said. So you know, where did Prabhupada say that? You have to show the quote. Right? This gives authorization to your preaching. Do not speculate. And we have to become learned. Prabhupada said we have to know his books as well as the lawyer knows the law books, as well as the Christian knows the Bible. So if we hear something which is inconsistent or philosophically incorrect, then we have to correct that. Right? Immediately we have to say, that is not correct. Where is the authorization? Where is the evidence? Like that. So we must become learned. We must... Prabhupada's title was Bhakti Vedanta. It means he was very learned. His godbrothers gave him that title. Because he was extremely learned. So we should not speculate. We must know what is actual... what the guru, what the sadhu, what the shastra is for. So why is Maharaj Kritu being worshipped? Maharaj Kritu is being worshipped because it is mentioned in shastra. And the great sages, the sadhus are there, and they are saying this is the personality of Godhead. This is an empowered incarnation of God. So the reciters on that level, they are offering respect. Do you need kiss? You alright there? Bala, do you need kiss? You alright there? Okay, any points?
Like you were saying that Prabhupada always used to quote everything from the Shastra. He was never deviating anything from the Shastra. Then even the examples he used to give are always from the Shastra. I had always read this example about, you know, even in Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada saying that dependence should not be like elephant bathing. Whenever the elephant goes in the river, he bathes, but when he comes out, he just puts his arm in the fish, and that is wrong type of atonement. So atonement is to awaken the so they are going through some lectures, and there's actually a verse in the Bhagavatam where there is a shloka in which Krishna is saying that atonement should not be like, you know, an elephant saying. I always used to think it was Prabhupada gave an example and it was too apt for Prabhupada used to say. But it's actually said by Krishna in the Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada, even his examples are all from the Shastra.
Yeah. He would use his own personal examples also in his experience in his life. But the point is, it must be authorized. It means if we give an example, just like I was at the farm the other day, Manigriva Prabhu was giving class and then he gave some nice examples. There are his examples like that, but they were consistent with the philosophy. You know, if someone says something and it's inconsistent, we have to say, then what is that? It must be consistent. It must follow our... The Prabhupada said you can present it in your own words. That's permissible, but it has to be consistent with our philosophy. It can't deviate from the Shastra or the Guru. Any other points?
Where is mentioned that King Prabhu is incarnation? Because it's in Bhagavatam, Vandamadigas are saying that, well, you are the Supreme. But where the prompts are from, that which other Shastra, which is the Shastra, where it's mentioned King Prabhu?
In his purport, Prabhupada quotes, is it in the Varaha Purana or something? We'll see as we go through. I think from memory, Prabhupada says, maybe it's in relation to something else, but I think it says in the Varaha Purana is mentioned. But the point is that the great sages are saying it. There must be some evidence in one of the Puranas or one of the Shastras. They wouldn't just be saying like that.
But that also thinks of the Vande Madhigas.
Okay, so then the Bhagavatam is an eternal shastra. It is always existing. So in the third chapter of the first canto, it is mentioned that Maharaj Prithu is one of the incarnations of God. So it is mentioned there already. So even though he's appearing here in the fourth canto, the Bhagavatam is already mentioned before his appearance. But then I think it's also mentioned in other places. Any other points?
Interesting to see you got Guru as well as Sadhu. From definition, Sadhu is one who cuts the knot and he is very direct in his words, and they refer to as Vidura as a Sadhu. He just comes and says the truth without showing any moderation or how people will feel. But we also say that Guru can also be Sadhu.
Yeah, the guru is a sadhu, like that. But it means that sadhu generally means, in a general way, it means the previous acharyas. It means personalities that may not be physically present now. Guru means someone that you can physically check with. If you don't understand something, you can ask your guru, or one of your gurus. So then the sadhu of Prabhupada says in the Purva means previous acharya. It also means the learned devotee's content. Okay. The second paragraph, it is mentioned that, actually we'll read it just so we can put it in context.
Recitants like the Sutta and Magad were confidentially aware that King Kudu was the incarnation of the personality of Godhead. Although the king denied such praise because he was not at that time exhibiting his godly quality, the reciters did not stop praising him. Rather, they were very pleased with the king, who, although actually an incarnation of God, was so humble and delightful in his dealings with devotees. In this connection, we may note that previously it was mentioned that King Kudu was smiling and was in a pleasant mood while speaking to the disciples. Thus, we have to learn from the Lord or His incarnation how to become gentle and humble. King's behavior was very pleasant, pleasing to the disciples, and consequently the disciples continued their faith and even foretold the king's future activities as they had been instructed by the sadhus and sages.
What are the points in this paragraph?
Professional
disciples are not doing it. They are not speculating. They are taking instructions from the sadhus and sages, and then they are taking. Even if they are mentioning his incarnation, it's kind of a specific situation. That's good.
Prabhupada emphasizes
in this paragraph that the purpose of associating with the Srimad Bhagavatam, the reason we're studying the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is full of Bhagavats, right? Or pure souls, Mahatmas, great personalities. Now, by associating with them, either in Vani or Vapu, which means that when you associate with advanced devotees, right, Vapu means you get their personal association and you develop their quality. That is the point of associating with the advanced devotees. Just like all of our spiritual masters, personally associated with Srila Prabhupada. Now, by Prabhupada's association, they also develop similar qualities. And by our associating with them, we also develop similar qualities. That is the point of the association. Now, the Bhagavatam is so powerful that because it is the narrative, or the bani, or the instructions and the pastimes, the lila, of these pure souls, these pure devotees, these mahatmas, mahajanas, these bhagavats, then by associating with them, we develop auspicious qualities. That is the point of us studying the Bhagavatam. We must develop auspicious qualities. Right? If you are studying and studying and chanting for so many years, you're not developing these qualities. Yashasti bhakti bhagavat yakim shana. It says in the Bhagavatam, by performing devotional service, you must develop auspicious qualities. This is called shubhada. This is one of the characteristics of bhakti, is that you will develop auspicious qualities. So we must learn to develop the qualities which are mentioned in the Bhagavatam in the lives and in the character of these great personalities. Just like I've been reading in this section when I was preparing for this section, it describes that Maharaj Prithu is as patient as the earth. And Prabhupada says in the purport, we must learn to become as patient as the earth. The earth is trampled on by everyone. We walk on the earth all day, right? And still she provides everything for us, right? Such tolerance, such patience. Right? So Maharaj Prithu had that type of patience. So then we meditate on that example, because sometimes our patience is a little bit tested. I don't know if it happened to you this week, but it happened to me this week. My patience was tested practically every day. So then I meditated again and again on Maharaj Prithu, right? Be patient, be equipoised, right? Tolerate, like that. So we develop these qualities by associating, meditating on these personalities. That is why we study the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the whole point of this study group, right? Prabhupada has designed these courses and these study forums, this type of sangha. Why? So that we will develop these qualities. This is the point. Because you need these auspicious qualities to enter back into the kingdom of God. If you have inauspicious qualities, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Right? Because everyone in the spiritual world has auspicious qualities. It is necessary to get Krishna's association, to associate with Krishna, who is the ocean of auspicious qualities. You must develop auspicious qualities. Otherwise you cannot associate with him. So we need to develop these qualities. How do we develop these qualities? By meditating on this. Not that we just come to class on Monday and Tuesday night and we hear something and then we go away all week and we forget it. No, we meditate all through the week on these qualities. Now that's why we study. Right? So then we can go over it again and again and again in our minds. Right? This is a quality of yoga. It is called, I'm just trying to think of the Sanskrit. Self-study.
Swadhyayana.
Okay. Swadhyayana means to study oneself. We have to regularly study our character. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says every ekadashi you have to examine yourself. What qualities have I developed in the last, since the last ekadashi, the last fortnight? What qualities are developing? Am I developing the 26 qualities of the devotee? Swajayana means study, self-study. That's why we study. When we're studying, we're reading Prabhupada's book, we're meditating. Do I have these qualities like Prithvi Maharaj? No, I don't. Okay, I have to work on them. Become conscientious. Just like whenever we read Prabhupada's book, we should be in that mood. How to improve. How to develop more auspicious qualities. And meditate on Prithvi Maharaj's example. How can I also become more tolerant? And then it is described that Lord Chaitanya mentions to Sanatana Goswami there are 26 qualities of the devotee. So then you meditate on each quality, right? There are 26 ekadashis in a year. So you take one quality, right? And then for 2 weeks you meditate on that quality. Kripalu, first quality. Develop mercy. Become more compassionate. Do more acts of showing compassion to other living entities. Second quality, akrita droha, means humility. Right? How can I be more humble? Right? When people give me praise, do not accept it. Learn to pass it on to your spiritual master. Right? Then third quality, satyasara, be truthful. Give up telling lies. Hands up if you did not tell a lie in the last 7 days. One. Okay, we've got one. So, meditate on this. And don't tell any lies.
I'm going to hide the truth.
So, meditate. Not tell lies. Develop truthfulness. It's the quality of a brahmana. To be honest. It's mentioned. Krishna mentions in Gita. There's the quality of the brahmana. Mahaprabhu mentions in Sanatana Shiksha, it's the quality of a Vaishnava. Such as Sama. Sama means equipoise. Right? So meditate on these qualities. We have to develop these qualities in spiritual life. Now, of all the qualities of a devotee, of a Vaishnava, what is considered to be the topmost quality? What is the crest jewel of all the qualities that devotees are known for? Humility. Right? It is humility. That is the overwhelming quality of the devotee. He is humble. Maharaj Prithu is being offered respect, as we saw in the end of the previous chapter. He is not accepting that respect. He is saying, actually, it is not appropriate that you are glorifying me because I haven't done anything yet. Right? We haven't done anything yet either, but as soon as someone glorifies us, then we immediately accept it. Because I probably will do it, and when I do it, it'll be really good. And I know all of you will really like it when I do it. And I've done it so many times anyway. Our minds are very fickle, very impure. Raghunath Das Goswami says in Manashiksha, Teachings to the Mind, he says that bathing in pride, or accepting pride, becoming proud, is like bathing in donkey's urine. Okay? Hands up if you would take bath in a donkey's urine. Hands up. Okay, I don't know why, but who would do it? Who would take bath in a donkey's urine? I mean, unless your guru said take bath in a donkey's urine, maybe you would do it. But you wouldn't do it, like, it's disgusting. But that's what it's like when we become proud. Right? It's like pride is like accepting something so impure. Right? And other devotees are looking at us and they think, why are you so proud? Why are you so puffed up? But we accept it, we hold on to that. Right? But others think it's, I don't want it, like, if someone has donkey's urine, right, bath, snum, then you like, don't come near me. Like that. So when you're proud, then that's how devotees are thinking. Right? It is not proper. Like that. So the humility is the crestule of all qualities of the Vaishnava. Devotees are known for being humble. Prithvi Maharaj is qualified, but he does not accept the phrase. Like that. So that we must learn to emulate these qualities. You know, we must learn. If you want to advance, if you want to attract Krishna, then you have to develop these qualities. Right? Just like I was reading Bhakti Tirtha Swami's, one of his books, The Beggar. And he's writing some poetry. He's writing a like a offering to Prabhupada. And he's saying in the offering, Prabhupada, I make so many followers. You know, because he was just saying factually, I make so many people come to Europe. And then he's like, he's speaking back and forth to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada says to him, he's saying, Bhakti Tirtha Swami is writing, Prabhupada is saying to him, but are you free from sex desire? And then he says to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I chant like 25 rounds every day. And then Prabhupada says, but are you free of sex desire? But Prabhupada, I only eat once a day. But are you free from sex desire? But Prabhupada, I fast every Ekadashi near job. But are you free from sex desire? So we become proud of so many things. But are we actually, do we actually have qualification or adhikar? Right? And devotee means humble. It means we understand we don't have adhikar. We don't actually have qualification. We think we are qualified, but we're not qualified. So devotee has to get this genuine realization. This will attract Krishna. As soon as you think you are advanced, you are fallen. Well, if you think you are fallen, then maybe you'll become advanced. Okay, so. Any points?
Recently, my
godmother
injected me a book where Maharaj writes that in devotional life also, initially after reading from Shastra, we start by becoming Das, Dasanudas. Then after that we graduate to becoming Dasanudas. Then we become Das. Then we become Prabhu. And then we compete with Mahaprabhu.
Now, I saw Satsarupa Maharaj write one time. He said he met one devotee. And the devotee said, I used to be really puffed up. And I used to think I was like the topmost person in the universe, Lord Brahma. He said, now I'm a little less proud. Now I think I'm like one of the four Kumaras. Gradually my pride is coming less and less.
When you're saying about the fusion of Vapu and Vani, it has got both positive and negative effect also. Like if we associate with a drunkard, one day we become a drunkard also. So there's an axiom in Hindi, Kajal ki kothi mein kaiso hi sayan ho jaye, ek hi kajal ki laga hi laga. If you go in a house full of, you know, dust, what do you call it, kajal, what do you call it, black dust, lamp, what do you call it, soot, yeah, black soot. So if you go very carefully still, but somewhere you will touch the wall and you will get it. So the association has a very deep effect. That's why in Pai Vali and the association of devotees, most devotees,
and
negative as well.
Any other points? Okay. The reciters continue, dear King, you are a direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality, Godhead, Lord Vishnu, and by his causeless mercy, you have descended on this earth. Therefore, it is not possible for us to actually glorify your exalted activities. Although you have appeared through the body of King Vena, even great orators and speakers like Lord Brahma and other demigods cannot exactly describe the glorious activities of your lordship. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport that We must learn to follow the example of the orators or the professional reciters, and we must learn to offer prayers to the Lord. This is called Vandanam. It is one of the nine processes of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Ashanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani Vedanam. So, Vandanam means prayer. Right? So, we learn to offer prayers to the Lord. Now, Prabhupada explains that we should offer traditional prayers or those that have been recited by great personalities. So we must learn and remember the prayers of great souls who have written them. Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Nane Gaura Tuishe Namaha, spoken by Rupa Goswami to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like that. So we repeat the great prayers written by the great souls. And we recite these prayers, and then we try to learn the mood in which they have offered that prayer. Now, Prabhupada also says that we can recite our own prayers. We can go before the Lord, before the deities, and we can offer our own prayers also. We can say something from our heart that is permissible. But it is very advantageous to study the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, Prarthana, and what is the other book? Prem Bhakti Chandrika, like that. So, and the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sharanagati, Gitavali, all the different books. We should memorize these prayers and try to understand the mood in which these prayers are offered by pure devotees, such as Narottama Das Thakur, such as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and try to understand what is their mood. And the more we deeply enter into the mood that they are offering that prayer, the more our heart becomes purified. They teach us what is pure bhakti, prem bhakti, chandrika. So by meditating on the prayers of the previous acharyas, we can also learn to offer pure prayers ourselves, so that one day our prayers will be pure and it will attract Krishna. Okay. This is an important item of bhakti. Okay. To follow. Yeah. Yeah, same concept. Any other points? Although we are unable to glorify you adequately, we nonetheless have a transcendental taste for glorifying your activities. We shall try to glorify you according to the instructions received from authoritative sages and scholars. Whatever we speak, however, is always inadequate and very insignificant. Dear King, because you are a direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all your activities are liberal and ever laudable. So Prabhupada emphasizes within the purport that we must become preachers. The reciters are glorifying the Lord according to their capacity. They say that no one can glorify the Lord in totality. It is not possible for any of us to fully glorify Krishna, because Krishna is beyond complete glorification. Prabhupada explains, Lord Ananta has thousands of mouths. And with those thousands of mouths, he's been glorifying the Lord since the beginning of time. And still he cannot exhaust the Lord's glories. So what hope do we have to fully glorify the Lord? We cannot fully glorify him, because his glories are unlimited. So Prabhupada explains that we should simply follow in the example of our guru, our spiritual masters, and we should preach according to our capacity, whatever we know. Just like when Prabhupada was present, when he first went to India, if you see the videos of when he first went to India, there was Malati's daughter, whose name was Saraswati. She was only like 3 years old. Right? She came with all the... And Prabhupada very much appreciated, she would go up to people during the programs Prabhupada was having, and she'd go up to people and say, do you know who is Krishna? And they'd say, no, who is Krishna? And he'd say, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada said, she is preaching according to her ability. So her preaching is perfect. So whatever we know, whatever we have realized, we must teach that to others. Because the more you give Krishna to others, the more you receive Krishna yourself. That is the system, the transcendental system. Normally, when you give something away, then you don't have it anymore. But in spiritual life, the more you give Krishna consciousness to others, the more you receive Krishna consciousness yourself. So Prabhupada expected that every one of the followers, of his followers, we are all his grandchildren, every one of us, it is our birthright, as being born taking dwija or second birth within ISKCON, it is our responsibility to give this knowledge which we have received to someone else. That is our responsibility. Yare de ketari kaha Krishna upadesh amara agyaya guru hana tara edesh. Mahaprabhu said, on my order you become a guru. Now you might say, I'm not qualified to be a guru. But Lord Chaitanya has just given you the order. So are you more intelligent than Lord Chaitanya? It is your responsibility on Mahaprabhu's order to become a spiritual master. That doesn't mean that we'll all become Diksha gurus within ISKCON. It means we have to give spiritual knowledge to others. We have to preach. It is our responsibility. Big or small, doesn't matter. 3-year-old girl Saraswati was preaching to people. Prabhupada said that is perfect. She is perfect. Her realization is perfect. So according to our capacity, we have to preach to others. It's our responsibility. You have to make other people Krishna conscious. Right? Who is your first responsibility to make Krishna conscious as a parent? The child. Look at all the children, becoming Krishna conscious. Just like at the wedding we had, Bhagavad Gita Prabhu's wedding a few weeks ago, and then I was watching, I think Dhruv and Ananya and Shan, and they were sitting there in the circle, playing and running around, and then they came and they all sat in the circle. And then Ananya was telling them, be quiet. So the boys were like quiet, and then she started chanting, I think it was Bhagavad Gita shlokas, chanting shlokas like that. Right, be quiet. Right now, chanting slogans. Right? Children don't normally do this. You go out in the kindergartens all around Melbourne, you don't see children chanting Bhagavad Gita slogans. Right? So this is the duty of the parents. The parents' responsibility is to make the children Krishna conscious. And they're becoming successful. And they're becoming such Krishna. And myself and Chaitanya Prabhu, and we were all sitting there, Premadam, we were sitting there and we were just laughing at the kids. So Krishna conscious. That is the perfection of being a parent. And Bhagavatam says, do not become a parent. Do not become a mother, a father, a husband, a teacher, a guru, or a demigod, unless you can deliver your dependence from the cycle of birth and death. That is your responsibility. So we have a responsibility. All of us have to preach to someone. Even if it's just your family, that's fine. And it is your responsibility to set the example to become Krishna conscious. Okay, so. Any points?
Yeah, I preach to your ability to get to the known and check the Shastra Guru, so do not beyond that for any speculation.
Verse 4. The king, Maharaj Prithu, is the best amongst those who are following religious principles. As such, he will engage everyone in the pursuit of religious principles and give those principles all protection. He will also be a great chastiser to the irreligious and atheistic. Okay, so we'll read that purple. Chaitanya Prabhu.
The duty of the king or the head of the government is described very nicely in this verse. It is the duty of the government head to see that people strictly follow a religious life. A king should be strict in chastising the atheists. In other words, an atheistic or godless government should never be supported by a king or governmental chief. That is the test of good government. In the name of secular government, the king or governmental head remains neutral and allow people to engage in all sort of irreligious activities. In such a state, people cannot be happy despite all economic development. However, in this age of Kali, there are no pious kings. Instead, drugs and thieves are elected to head the government. But how can the people be happy without religion and God consciousness? The drugs exact taxes from the citizens for their own sense of enjoyment. And in the future, the people will be so much harassed that according to Srimad Bhagavatam, they will flee from their homes and countries and take shelter in the forest. However, in Kali Yuga, democratic government can be captured by Krishna conscious people. If this can be done, the general populace can be made very happy.
Hmm. So are there any points of interest in this?
We had the World Parliament of Religion recently in Australia. And now there is the World Parliament of Atheists, which also they are organizing. And apparently they want to call this guy Richard Dawkins on the last day. He was agreed to come and give a speech. But there was a controversy which I read that government did a good thing for a change. They have not funded the World Parliament of Atheists. So they are calling the government a hypocrite, saying that you funded the World Parliament of Religion, but you're not giving another chance. It doesn't have any. And there's some controversy going on. So something good the government has done.
Yeah, it's because the government is weak with all these things taking place in the village. Prabhupada said that if we ever get to the point of Krishna consciousness becoming powerful, and we have control of the government and control of the army, he said then we can get a gun and we can hold it to the people and we can say, Chant Hare Krishna. Maharaj Prithu wouldn't have tolerated all this nonsense. He would have chastised the citizens. You follow. If you do not follow, you will be chastised. Right, and then they will follow out of fear, or else they'll leave the kingdom. Like that. But the government is weak now. They tolerate all these. Yeah.
Something similar to that happens in Dalit countries, where the citizens are forced to follow or offer prayers on Fridays and then other festivals, including the various shops that are forced to be closed down, or during Ramadan from morning to evening, all shops remain closed.
So what is one of the main points that we're learning from this section of the Bhagavatam? This like entire section of the Maharaj preacher.
Yeah,
a correct leadership. We're learning about Vedic culture. Right? The Bhagavatam teaches us how to organize society perfectly. The Bhagavatam teaches us how to be a perfect father, how to be a perfect son. Right? How to be a perfect wife, right? How to be a perfect husband, right? How to be a perfect leader, a king. We see perfection in the Bhagavatam. That's why Prabhupada made it his life work to translate the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam gives us the understanding of what is ideal society, ideal social dealings, how everyone has to fulfill their obligations correctly and perfectly within society. So we see here the description of the perfect king. Prabhupada explains that the best type of government is monarchy. It is to have a qualified ruler, not democracy, where we all vote for someone and then like that. Not that we have committees, but the best way to organize society is to have a ruler, a monarch. But the defect in this day and age is the monarchs are not qualified. Just like what did Prabhupada say about Prince Charles and his father? Prabhupada said they are hippies. Prince Charles and his father, I can't remember what his father's name was, married to Queen Elizabeth. Prabhupada said they're hippies. That's all they really do, they just travel around. And they don't really do much. Like hippies. Right? Nothing actually achieved like that. So it's not actual leadership. Okay. Proper leadership is one has to have qualification. Right? What is the qualification? Right? The example is shown by Maharaj Prithu. Right? This is the ideal monarch. How to rule. Now we can take example how to be leaders, because all of us are leaders, right, in some degree. You have a Bhakti Vrikshi group, or you run a Bhakti by Bath class, or some of your temple presidents like that. We have so many leadership positions within the society of devotees, so we have to learn how to take the example of Maharaj Prithu and the other great leaders within the Bhagavatam, how to set a proper example. So in this verse, the first qualification of the leader is that he must nurture within the kingdom Sanatan Dharma. He must make sure that religion is being upheld. Not some false religion or temporary religion. Not temporary religion, but the religion must be Sanatan Dharma. It must be the religion which is enunciated within the Srimad Bhagavatam. Not as Prabhupada said about Christianity, he said these days it is churchianity. The church is saying this is religion, but it's not based upon eternal religious principles, Sanatana Dharma, as is taught in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the first principle of the king. He must ensure that the citizens are following Sanatana Dharma. Right? Which is, we see how much the government is failing in this day and age. Because no one is following Sanatana Dharma. Right? Everyone is just following sense gratification. There is no Dharma. Right? There's simply artha and karma. Right? There is no religious principles being enunciated or protected by the government. Actual religious principles. This is the qualification of the leader. So as leaders, we have to make sure within ISKCON that ISKCON is following Sanatana Dharma. Right? Not that devotees get caught up in all sorts of other things. Just like these days, some devotees get very caught up in astrology. Right? Oh, I have to organise my life according to what the astrologer has said. Oh, no. We organise our life according to what the guru has said. Not what the astrologer has said. So astrology is not Sanatana Dharma. If astrology is Sanatana Dharma, why then Krishna didn't teach astrology in the Bhagavad Gita? Oh Arjuna, you know, this is not a good time for a battle. Ketu is there. What that? Krishna did not say. Krishna said, fight.
Actually, there was a thing when I think Duryodhana comes to Nakula and Sahadeva because they are and then they say, okay, this is a good day. Amavasya is a good day to start. So and then Krishna goes and changes the day. That is one of the Amavasya so that they don't win. Actually, they do because Nakula
Sahadeva
is astrologer, so it is mentioned in the
Mahabharata. Yeah. Yeah. It is there in the Mahabharata. Karna says before the war, he says, "Oh, this is not auspicious. This is going to be a huge bloodshed." So it is there, but Krishna doesn't say anything about it in the Gita. Mm-hmm. Right? Krishna doesn't get into the Gita and start saying, "Oh, you know, we have to organise the Vastu better." Yeah, the battlefield's not correct, you know. We need a water feature on that side.
But he also says that if a person dies at that time and this time and this, so he mentions that Uttarayanam and all that.
But then what does Prabhupada say in the purport?
No, but devotee doesn't matter what time they die,
that's right.
As long as they don't have and the
It's good to have you back, Misha. Nice try.
But
so,
senior devotees in ISKCON do astrological charts for people. Very senior.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I had an astrologer. Yeah. Gangeshwar Prabhu is my astrologer. I consult him not very often because my life is not too bad. But, sometimes I do it. I ring him up and say, oh, you know, what's going on at the moment, and what do you think, what decision should be made. So that is okay, but it's not our final authority. like that. Like Angus Rai Prabhu says to me sometimes, he says, read Bhagavad Gita. he just says, chant all around. So the point is, if you have an astrologer, the astrologer must be a Vaishnava. Otherwise it's useless. Okay, because unless they're Vaishnava, they cannot give proper consultation. Mm-hmm. So the duty of the king, Prabhupada points that in the purport, the duty of the king, he must chastise atheism and irreligion. These days, people do not even know what is irreligion. People think, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, they think religion is irreligion, and irreligion is religion. So these days, people do not even know what is what. The duty of the king is to chastise irreligion. Right? As leaders in ISKCON, right, we must chastise irreligion. Right? If we see some devotees are doing irreligious activity, it must be immediately stopped. We do not tolerate it. If we see someone is doing something irreligious, immediately we chastise. Immediately stop. It's everyone's responsibility. You can't say, oh, well, I'm not one of the leaders. No. You see someone is doing something irreligious, right, within this time, then immediately you must chastise. That is our responsibility. That's what preaching knowledge is teaching us.
How do you tell Barry that people are doing the wrong thing are above you in this time?
Can you go to someone who's above them?
Or
I'll just find out who's got me.
What yuga are we talking about?
It hasn't mentioned which yuga, but it's not Kali Yuga. It must be such a rock. It's definitely a more peaceful time. I'm not sure which yuga it is, but it's definitely.
And the opposite of this one,
yeah, it's not Kali Yuga. So immediately, atheism must be chastised. Just like we have this World Parliament of Atheism. What would Prithu Maharaj do? Right? He'd give you probably two choices. Right? You either rectify yourself, right, or you will suffer some serious punishment. Right? That's the way the government wants. Right? Very strict, very powerful. Just like when Pariksit Maharaj in the first canto, when he came across Kali, someone was beating a cow and a bull, what did he do? Immediately pulled out the sword. Immediately. No sentiment. Oh, you know, we should take him to court for 25 years and find out if it's, you know, if it's right or if it's wrong. Like in India, it's ridiculous. Every court case goes on for 25 years. Right? No, like, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a court magistrate. He would make his judgment in 6 minutes. Bring the person in, what did they do? Right or wrong? Bang. That's it. Finished. Right? So, Maharaj Pariksit, this is a leader. It does not tolerate nonsense. So in this kind, if we see nonsense, then we do not tolerate. Right? In our family, if we see nonsense, we do not tolerate. Now, if the kids are doing nonsense, then... See, sometimes the parents these days, they do... Their children are doing all sorts of nonsense, the parents just tolerate. Just like last weekend, then Small Krishna Maharaj's brother, Carl, he came to Melbourne, so I spent some time with him. And he said he has three children, who are very nice... You know, very nice children. And him and his wife Stella, they said they're on the plane coming from Brisbane to Melbourne. He said there's some children sitting in front of them, and they were just running riot all over the plane. And the parents were tolerating. Right? And then Carl had to hold his wife Stella. She was going to get up and just say, you know, why don't you control your children? It's your duty. Right? So this is your duty. No matter what position you're in, if you see something wrong, then you must correct it. Right? Otherwise, everything. You see what society is like now. Vana Sankara. Right? Society is completely unruly. Right? We just have chaos in society. Why? Because no one is chastising. So it is our duty. Right? If we see something wrong, immediately, irreligious or bad behavior or improper behavior, immediately. But my father was very strict on me. Right? He's a little crazy man. Right? He's gone off on another tangent. But when I was brought up, he was a very good father. Yeah, any nonsense immediately. Like that. It's very good now. I appreciate that. Like that. Okay. Any points?
So the pridefulness of the administrator, it is the pridefulness of an administrator, it is not strict. It is unpleasant for the people who is following irreligious and some other things. Something is the
all the leaders we have in the world these days. We just have to keep preaching and hopefully we will make some of the leaders into devotees. Just like in Delhi, in India, some very high people in the Delhi city administration have been initiated by Gopal Krishna Maharaj. Very high positions. Radhanath Swami has people in, devotees are in very high positions. Lokanath Swami has people in high positions. So gradually we're taking over. Just takes time. Keep preaching and then we'll take over. We will not stop until Kevin Rudd chants his rounds in the morning.
Okay, I was reading an article a couple of weeks back. Australia is number 10 now in terms of number of poker machines. So like 101 machine for 110 people.
One poker machine?
110 people. That's the average.
Really?
So, and Kevin Rudd had this helplessness that the gambling industry is so strong, they will find their way even if the government tries to stop it. So they got such a big nexus of the thing. So they will force the government in a way to change the rules.
In Kali Yuga, everything is money. Just like in America, all the politicians are controlled. They make their decisions based upon who is paying their salary. Just like Hillary Clinton, when Bill Clinton was the president, then she was supposed to change the health system within America, because the health system in America is very bad. And then they brought her out. All the people who own the pharmaceutical companies, they just gave her big money for her campaign and for her husband's campaign, and just completely derailed the whole thing. That's how the governments are run these days. Everything's controlled by the corporations who fund the government. Okay, we'll move through. We'll keep going. And if you have any questions, we can ask later on, because we'll finish this section. Tonight we'll go to verse 14. Okay. This king alone, in his own body, will be able in due course of time to maintain all living entities and keep them in a pleasant condition by manifesting himself as different demigods to perform various departmental activities. Thus he will maintain the upper planetary system by inducing the populace to perform Vedic sacrifices. In due course of time, he will also maintain this earthly planet by discharging proper rainfall. So Prabhupada emphasizes that if you have a position of authority within ISKCON, then you must act in such a way that the citizens are inspired to follow you. That means your character has to become impeccable. Right? Because all the devotees in ISKCON, they're looking for inspiration. So if you take on a position of leadership, any position of leadership within ISKCON, then you have to develop ideal character based upon the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because if you have proper character, then everyone becomes inspired to follow you. Just like the parents. The children become inspired to follow parents when they see a good example. Just like you see in the West, all the parents say to the children, do not smoke. And what do they do? They smoke. So there's no logic there. Where's the logic? Don't do it. Oh, but you're doing it. No, but you don't do it. There's no logic. So the quality of any leadership, of any position we take, we have to be a perfect example. And someone can say, well, that's a very high standard. Well, that's the standard. That's what the Bhagavatam expects. That we all have to develop this high caliber of qualities. Right? We have to develop ideal character. Not that we are ideal, we never will become fully ideal, but we have to develop a very high standard. That's when people become inspired. Prabhupada says, purity is the force. If you're not pure, then people, they lose faith. And we see in ISKCON so many times, in the 80s especially, after Prabhupada left, many of our devotees had to take on very big positions of leadership, gurus and so forth, and sannyasis, and because, you know, they were a little bit young or immature, they didn't have the qualification yet to take their position, they left, right, there was some impurity, and then everyone loses faith. And it makes it very hard for our movement to progress. So we have to take on positions of responsibility, and we have to develop ideal character. So it puts us under a lot of pressure. But that's what our movement's all about. That's how the coal becomes a diamond. Right? The coal becomes a diamond by pressure. Right? Continuous pressure, continuous pressure, continuous pressure. The coal turns into a diamond. So similarly, we have to take that responsibility. We have to take positions of leadership. We have to take those positions. Right? And then everyone is looking up to us. Right? And then we have to develop better character so that devotees become inspired. So it's a lot of pressure, but that's how we become purified. It's good for us. That's what Prabhupada expected. Okay? Not that we don't take any responsibility. Not that we all have to become preachers, leaders. Lord Chaitanya has said, Prabhupada said there has to be hundreds of gurus, thousands of gurus. Okay? So you have to become qualified. Take responsibility. I'll keep moving because we just need to finish this session. This king, Prithu, will be as powerful as the sun god, and just as the sun god equally distributes his sunshine to everyone, King Prithu will distribute his mercy equally. Similarly, just as the sun god evaporates water for 8 months and during the rainy season returns it profusely, this king will also exact taxes from the citizens and return these monies in times of need. The Prabhupada explains that the mood of the leader is Vatsalya, Bhav. This is explained in my brain just went blank. Swami wrote one book called Hari Bhakti Vilas. Right? So explained in the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami, one of the qualities the guru must have is Vatsalya Bhav. Meaning, the way the parent feels towards the child is the way the guru feels towards the disciple. The way the king feels towards the citizens. Right? Now, does Kevin Rudd feel like that towards us? Like that? So I'm just saying as an example. Right? Not enough. Right? Because when the government is pure, they will look after the citizens. Prabhupada explains in the purport, why do people become government ministers, or why do you join the police force in India? You take a position of authority, why? So you can make some money. Right? That's completely selfish. Right? The mood of the government should be we take taxes from the citizens, right? And then we use all of that money to benefit the citizens. Right? And if there's a real time of need, we will take care of the citizens. That's the mood of the government. Just like a parent looks after the children. Right? Parents always have money, right? When the child needs, then it is there. Take care of all the needs of the child. So it's the same move. Okay. This King Prithu will be very, very kind to all the citizens. Even though a poor person may trample over the king's head by violating the rules and regulations, the king, out of his causeless mercy, will be forgetful and forgiving as the protector of the world. He will be as tolerant as the earth itself. When there is no rainfall and the citizens are in great danger due to scarcity of water, this royal personality of Godhead will be able to supply rains exactly like the heavenly King Indra. Thus he will very easily be able to protect the citizens from drought. So we see in Australia at the moment, the last 7 years we've had drought. Can the government do anything? No. When Prabhupada went to India in 1970, he was preaching in South India. I can't remember the city. Hyderabad. Went to Hyderabad with the devotees, and the devotees were doing Harinam Sankirtan throughout the streets of Hyderabad for 1 week. All the devotees were chanting. And Hyderabad had been in a drought for several years. It had not rained for a number of years. And when the devotees came, when they finished the Sankirtan, right, after 1 week, it poured. Right? And all the newspapers reported that what the priests, the Puroids, or the Brahmanas in South India, they've been performing yajnas for years. To make it rain, nothing happened. Right? These Western Vaishnavas came, and under the guidance of Bhaktivedanta Swami, they brought the rain. All the newspapers reported like that. So in Kali Yuga, you want rain, right? How do you do it? Jagda. You have to chant Hare Krishna. Just like at the farm at New Nandagram, we have Gaudiya Fire there, our deities are there, and sincerely we are trying to worship them. We're performing kirtan, we have kirtans for their pleasure, and at the moment, up until now, we don't have any water problem. All our water tanks have been overflowing for 12 months. We can't even catch the water, right? And we have a spring on the property and there's enough water for us. Right? But all around Victoria, all around this region, within 300 kilometers, everyone's in drought. Right? So there is a correlation. Right? If we chant Hare Krishna, everything will come. Prabhupada explains. This king, Prija Maharaj, by virtue of his affectionate glances and beautiful moon-like face, which is always smiling with great affection for the citizens, will enhance everyone's peaceful life. That's why it is mentioned, one of the aparads against devotees is not to smile when you see them. You see a devotee, you don't smile. It is slight aparad, not big aparad, but little aparad. Okay. So it makes someone's life better, doesn't it? Right? You see a devotee and they smile, does it make you happy? Right? You see a devotee and they don't smile, how does it make you feel? Oh, there you are, and they don't smile. How do you feel? Not so good. So Prithvi Maharaj, he made everyone in the kingdom happy. Because he was always peaceful and content like that. And everyone who saw him, they felt happy and satisfied. And the whole kingdom was happy and satisfied. The reciters continued, no one will be able to understand the policies the king will follow. His activities will also be very confidential, and it will not be possible for anyone to know how he will make every activity successful. His treasury will always remain unknown to everyone. He will be the reservoir of unlimited glories and good qualities, and his position will be maintained and covered just as Varuna, the deity of the sea, is covered all around by water. So, if we are Krishna conscious, there will never be any lacking. We will not have financial difficulties. We will not have difficulties practically in any area of our life. If we surrender to Krishna, Krishna will take care of all of our needs. You'll have enough money, you'll have enough everything. I mean, there's always going to be problems in life, but what you need, you will get. Krishna will always maintain us, take care of us. So because Prithvi Maharaj was the king, everyone in the city, everyone in the government had what they needed. No one was hungry. Just like Bob Hawke said in 1986 in Australia, said, by the year 2000 there will be no poverty in Australia. He said there will be no hungry children in Australia. But still people are hungry. It's just mismanagement, that's all. Anyone had half a brain could organise it. Right, Africa is starving. Thousands and millions of people. I mean, I heard this statistic. It's something like 1/6 or 1/4 of the people on Earth at the moment go to bed hungry every night. Right? That is only one thing. That is total mismanagement by the governments. Right? They cannot organise anything. They are useless. Because no one should go hungry. Ever. Right? There should not be one person on the earth tonight who goes to bed hungry. Because there's enough food for everyone. Right? And it's simply being mismanaged. That's all. Right? Useless governments. Useless. Just like they had the Copenhagen summit. You know, useless people. Useless. Get together to talk about climate change. The world is in trouble. Get together to talk about it and they just argue for 4 days and everyone loses. What the point? Useless people. This is useless. So what's the alternative? Right, you all come and farm with me. We'll grow food, we'll make money for you, and we'll be happy. Right, does it sound good? Right, I keep saying it every time. Not one of you came yet. Right. Boy, give me your promises, I will come, I will come. Right. Why do you think I'm living down there? Right, and then if we do run out of food, then you'll all come down. Why do you think me and Money Groove are working hard? Growing food. Money Groove brought 13, you know, like those black crates? Yeah. You know the ones I'm talking about? They put the vegetables in? Yeah. He brought 13 crates today of zucchini to the temple. We haven't even got started yet. We haven't even got started yet. Right? Our goal is to have enough vegetables for Gopal's Crossroads and the temple. Right? We haven't even got started yet. We're just starting to grow things. Okay? We planted pumpkins, zucchini, tomatoes and eggplants. Right? They haven't even started coming yet. It's just beginning to come. What do you think we're doing down there? Then all you guys can't afford food anymore, then you'll all come down. I'm saying come down. And also please give us your blessings that we can do something. Prabhupada wanted this. My Guru Maharaj, this is my Guru Maharaj give a lecture today. He said this exact point today. I heard him say in the lecture. He said this was the thing that Prabhupada said at the, if you read TKG's diary, right? Prabhupada said in the final year of 1977, he said, 50% of my work is done. Right? And Bhavananda Prabhu said to Prabhupada, he said, oh Prabhupada, you haven't finished the Bhagavatam. Because Prabhupada only got to 10th canto, chapter 13. But he thought he meant the other 50% was finishing the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, no, I've not introduced Vanashram. Vanashram means our farm community. And then Prabhupada said, he was talking about moving to Gita Nagari. He said, because they've solved the problems of life, they're growing food. That's all you need. You have food, then what else? Chant Hare Krishna. We don't need all this complicated society. What do you think we're doing down there? We'll keep going. Please.
And the constitution as well.
Okay.
And the constitution, you know. Constitution for these things.
Okay. Okay. King Preetu was born of the dead body of King Vena as fire is produced from Arani wood. Thus King Preetu will always remain just like fire and his enemies will not be able to approach him. Indeed, he will be unbearable to his enemies. For although staying very near him, they will never be able to approach him but will have to remain as if far away. No one will be able to overcome the strength of King Preetu. So it means the leader must be strong. People must be scared of the leader. There must be a healthy sense of fear. It's like if we go before our spiritual master, how do we feel? And sometimes we go before our guru, we're a little nervous. Right? Because there's a healthy sense of fear. Right? Because the guru will point out, if there's something wrong, he will point it out. So that's what it means to be a father, that's what it means to be a guru, that's what it means to be a king. To be a leader means if something is wrong, you must chastise. Right? Maharaj Preetu was so powerful, no one would cause any problems. Because they knew as soon as any problems were there, immediately. Okay. King Preetu will be able to see all the internal and external activities of every one of his citizens. Still, no one will be able to know his system of espionage, and he himself will remain neutral regarding all matters of glorification or vilification paid to him. He will be exactly like air, the life force within the body, which is exhibited internally and externally, but is always neutral to all affairs. Since this king will always remain on the path of piety, he will be neutral to both his son and to his enemy. If the son of his enemy is not punishable, he will not punish him. But if his own son is punishable, he will immediately punish him. Just as the sun god expands his shining rays up to the Arctic regions without impediments, the influence of King Preetu will cover all tracts of land up to the Arctic regions and will remain undisturbed as long as he lives. Preetu Maharaj ki.
Yeah.
So tomorrow night we'll finish chapter 16. We'll go through and we'll finish this glorification of Preetu Maharaj.